soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis, sounding the alarm on February 28, 2012. We are in the last days, a very exciting time, a time when believers in Jesus Christ should be looking up, looking to heaven, from whence their Lord and Savior will return, as He promised, as all the prophets has testified, that the Lord will gather His elect from the four ends of heaven throughout the earth, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And just as Jesus Christ has told us, we're seeing so many things being fulfilled in our day that there is an apostasy underway. There is heretical false teaching, false doctrine, false ministries. People that purposely have deceived people, deceived masses for many different reasons. Sometimes it's just to make money or pursuing honor or even the pleasure ramifications of being a false leader. And I have a man of God that I've recently met named Bill Ziegler from Louisiana, a believer in Jesus Christ. And I really appreciate this man because he's sharing from his heart this burden of what is the church and what is the church not. And there's so many people that believe in Jesus Christ, but they're still stuck in a religious system that's corrupted. And they think that they have to stay there. But the Lord's been calling all of us. He speaks to us. And wants us to grow up in Him and put away the things that are completely foreign to Him. And it's up to us as believers in Jesus to follow our shepherd. Because He's the one that bought us with His own blood. So in these days, ladies and gentlemen, there is a true church, a true ecclesia, called out people. And there's a false church. So I want to bring on Bill Ziegler, who has a website and he shares many things that the Lord's given him from the scriptures, from the burden of the Spirit of God to help the people, to strengthen them in these last days. Bill, hello.
Hi, how are you doing, Trevor?
It's great. I'm so excited to share today and have you share what's on your heart about these things, about the apostasy, and to help people understand what the true church is and the difference between the truth and the false. And sometimes I liken it, Bill, to like a diamond that's real, authentic. It's created by God, a diamond, you know, from in the minerals of the earth, and a man-made cubic zirconia. And sometimes from the surface, I say sometimes, it looks like they're the same. But when you really scrutinize and take a good close look, an educated look, you see they're completely different. The nature of them is totally different. And so is the same thing. We can't just go by a surface appearance, but we have to really have true discernment that God can give us. You know, Bill, I asked you to come on because there's been a couple events that have happened recently that really I found troubling that go on in the church world. And I shared that with you, a man named, they call him the Pastor Eddie Long from Atlanta, Georgia. And about over a year ago, he was in a scandal where it was exposed that he was involved in homosexual behavior with men and other sins of the flesh that hadn't been crucified. And he was exposed, and yet people would just, they still wanted to keep the church going, the church system. They wanted to put on the appearance of everything was just the same. So recent days, they held a ritual, and that was on YouTube, where they wrapped this man in a Torah and called him a king, and it was a born-again ceremony ritual right in front of all the people that were, you know, part of this so-called church. And I was alarmed by it, and I asked you to see it, and I'd like you to share whatever you want to share about this subject. Go ahead, Bill.
Yes, I watched that last night with my wife, and she really didn't want to watch all of it, but here was this supposedly Jewish man, a Jewish Christian, I guess, but he must have been a Messianic Jew. I'm not sure exactly who he is. I didn't have time to research him. But here was this pastor of this mega church, and Trevor said, they had this ritual that they went through. That's very like a whole lot of rituals I've seen performed in all these New Age emergent church settings. Mm-hmm. And it's all false. But people, for some reason, they're so hungry for the things of God, they just about believe anything. So it's kind of hard to, you know, really be able to discern. And you had mentioned the word discernment. And I thought, man, that is exactly what the people need today is Christians today, those are who are believers in Christ. I don't even use the word church anymore because that's just a building. I use the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We're the believers in Christ. And the scripture that comes to me, I've been doing a little work and studying on, and now little children abide in him, that when, this is in 1 John 2:28, and now little children abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And we need to get a hold and grasp and believe that scripture, because abiding in him is where you have confidence. Mm-hmm. People that go to church today, there's no confidence, there's no direction, they're just running around like madmen. And they go to these big mega churches, and what they see there is all kind of nonsense. And I've prayed, and I've been having a couple dreams in the last month. And what I've seen was businesses, these were big industrial businesses, those that had been manufacturing businesses. And one of them I worked at, and the other one, I just was there. I had been there, but I didn't work there. And they were all in shambles. And I just couldn't believe this. You know, what is this trying to say? You know, what does that have to do with something spiritual? And I just couldn't grasp it. But they were all in ruins because men have destroyed them. And then I got to thinking today, you know, what is the business of today, the biggest business of men today? And that's entertainment. And entertainment has literally, because we've allowed it as the body of Christ to creep in, and now it's just a secular church, and it's not any longer the body of Christ in these buildings. So we've let that creep in. And here it is in the mega church, and that you go to any mega church and you see these things all the time. But I guess what really impressed me was not in a good way. It made I just was sitting there cringing, thinking about thousands of people sitting up there watching this performance, because that's all it was. It was a performance on stage, and it had no. There was nothing relative to what the body of Christ was. And they were exalting this man, and they set him on this chair, and they crowned him and made him a king. Well, I don't know about you, but my Bible doesn't say anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're supposed to all be in the body of Christ as one. We're one in him,
mm-hmm.
where we exhort, edify, and build up each other. And the religious buildings just cannot do that because they're built by men. Inside, you have a order of worship, and that just nullifies the functioning of the body of Christ. And, of course, I can just hear all the leaders, all aghast, shrieking and screaming in disgust. That's just too bad, because that's the truth. You know, the people of God need deliverance, and they need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They need to be in him.
Amen.
Be living in him. Because the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom, made up the priesthood of all believers. And we as a body of Christ need to learn to function without outside interference from carnal leaders. Besides that, if these leaders were true leaders, the greatest of them was always in the body of Christ. Jesus taught that and showed that example of being the least. And they should serve the body and not the other way around, to where we're lavishing all this luxury and money and, you know, everything in the world, riches and all that to them. Well, that's what's happening in the church house today. So it's a business of men.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's kind of like saying, well, I'm going to go to the movie every week, and I'm going to grow spiritually. Well, there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians that go to all these carnal movies.
Mm.
And if you believe that you're going to get something spiritual out of these movies, I got news for you. You can't, because these are made by carnal men, ungodly men, and it's in this the church house realm, or the religious institution, as I like to call it. So here's a man and all these thousands of people, going through this ritual. And there's all kind of rituals out there, prophetic and the apostolic movement as well. But this one really gripped my heart, because all of these people really wanted to hear something from God. Well, you can't hear nothing from God if somebody's up there directing everything, from the pulpit, which, anyway, I don't need to get into all that, but here it is. But the people were not receiving anything. Here was the man receiving exaltation to a position that he did not deserve. As Trevor said, this man was accused of something, and it seems to all be true, the best I could tell. I researched it on the internet and I looked around, and all that appears to be that happened. And I also found another place last night to where he was supposedly going to step, whether he has yet or not, I don't know, but he was supposed to step down from the head of this church because him and his second wife were having problems. So as I was watching this thing, it was really ironic, because as I was watching this YouTube video, I prayed, God, get him out of there. And I could see that something wasn't right, because the look on this man's face, I hate to call him brother long, because there's just a whole lot of things that's just not right. When you can't call somebody that's not your brother a brother.
Mm-hmm.
I would sure like to. I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to pray for his deliverance. And maybe this will cause his deliverance, because I believe that. And I want everybody out there to pray for this Bishop Eddie Long.
Yeah.
And that he is delivered, because he's got to be delivered, and he needs to be delivered. And so we have to have compassion for these people, but we don't have to put up with it. I'm pretty blunt when I talk about this thing they call church today, and I call things like they are. I'm kind of like the Lord. There's a lot of people that have called me a heretic, and they would like to take me out, shoot me too, probably, or kill me, just like they tried to do with Jesus. And this doctrine of love, that's something else that's, going around. And, it's true. Yes, God loves his creation. But on the other hand, you can't just be way out there somewhere and doing things that's not of God, because God don't love those things. So he may love the man, but he doesn't love what's going on.
Right.
So we gotta be careful. We've got to learn to discern, and that's the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. We gotta understand that this entertainment spirit is really. It's killed the body of Christ, and so that's kind of where that goes. You could talk all day about all this sort of thing.
Well, I wanted to echo what you just said about this. Well, they call it love, but it's more like an attitude of niceness, and they think that when you confront error or ungodly behavior that you're being unloving. But that's not true. The same man of God, Apostle Paul, for example, he would say that to urge people to stand in sound doctrine. He said, "I command you to teach them sound doctrine. Tell them to stay in sound doctrine and in godliness of behavior." But then he'd go on and say, "Be meek and be kind and tender." So it doesn't mean be rude and harsh and lock people into an eternal judgment. That's, we don't condemn people, But we do urge people to turn from their unrighteousness and turn unto the Lord and call upon Him. And that's how, like you said, that's how you can be saved. But the Lord would never have us whitewashed. This is what the prophets of old would rebuke. When you whitewash or white temper evil, and you call evil good, and you put light for darkness and sweet for bitter, that's topsy-turvy, and it doesn't work that way in the kingdom of God. We all have to fear the Lord and love the truth and reflect the truth. Because if you really believe and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins and was buried for 3 days according to the scriptures and was quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit, raised from the dead, you know, when you have faith in that, Bill, that activates the very power of God to deliver you from the power of sin. And God changes you from the inside out. And we're no more the same corrupt sinners of corrupt men. So you can't stand up and say you're a believer and then walk in darkness. That's what is made clear. So I agree with you. We have to tell the truth. And if we're going to minister in the name of Jesus, we don't want to blaspheme the word of God.
That's right. And getting back to this, you know, there's this movement now to where, you know, all religions coming together and we're all one and all this good stuff, and there's more than one way to go to heaven. But there's been a whole rash of even Christians, believers, or people that call themselves Christians. I have my doubts, but I can't judge. But, you know, you can know them by the fruits.
Yes.
So, you know, you can know that. And on those talking about the old prophets, all the old prophets, when the king come to, there's the prophets, you know, that were of men or of the dark side, and then there was the prophets of God, and the prophets from the dark side, they didn't want to be killed, so they spoke kind words to the king. Mm-hmm. Or the prophet of God, you know, like Daniel, Ezekiel, and Isaiah. When he spoke, you're going to die. He spoke death, you know, because they needed to repent.
Mm-hmm.
And if they would repent, they can live. But if they didn't, you know, it was their choice, you know, and that's the problem. We want to sugarcoat everything today, and you can't sugarcoat the truth because, you know, you can just take an example of the things going on in the church today, you know, where somebody gets up there and says, "Oh, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today?" Excuse me, I'm in a building and I'm sitting here looking at the back of somebody's head, but this is not the house of the Lord. And I got a little upset when somebody said that one time, and the people around me, and I said, "No," I says, "this is not the good to be in the house of the Lord. This is a building, and the true body of Christ is us." Mm-hmm. We are all part of the body of Christ. We are the building. You know, we're the tabernacle. We're the temple. And, of course, a lot of people chuckled around there. And then this person happened to be a lady. And she says, "I would rather be here than anywhere, wouldn't you?" And then they were all looking at me around. And I said, "No, I'd rather be fishing. How many want to go fishing with me?" And the latter really... laughter really got loud, and of course, you know, everybody started looking around then, and I said, "Well, I better be quiet." I said, "Lord, shut my mouth, please." You know,
Bill, what you're reminding me of is, you've ever heard the story about the king that had no clothes on, and everybody would tell him how he was dressed? Yes, they'd agree with the king how wonderfully adorned he was, you know, and here he was naked. But this one little innocent child says, "You don't have any clothes on," told the truth. And everyone, you know, everyone just kind of, the pressure is to go along, the peer pressure.
Yeah.
And this is what we're saying. Look, we have to look for Jesus. Jesus is being censored right now in the church world. When the Bible says, "My sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow." And I believe, Bill, this is what the Lord quickened me today about this whole thing. God is allowing this false religious system to exist. It's because God is looking at each and every individual that comes to Him. Do they really want Jesus? Are they really going to stand for the truth? Or are they going to go along with lies? Are they going to go along with half-truths? Because you can't have both. Yes. You can't have the Lord and go along with the lies. You can't be a servant of man. Paul said you can't be a servant of man and be a servant of Christ. So I believe God is proving people, look, do you want to just go along with the crowd? Or are you going to be like that little child that told the king the truth? Look, you don't have any clothes on.
That's right. And, you know, what we're talking about here is just what I've been, matter of fact, this article, I haven't finished it yet, but it's on abiding in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking all the scriptures, some of them Jesus said, and the other ones that's in the scriptures. And, you know, if you're not abiding in Christ, you can go to the church house, the building, 7 days a week, and there's not going to be a spiritual bone in your body, because we have to abide in Him, you know, mm-hmm. and we've got to, if you don't, you're not a Christian, you've got to learn to follow Him. We've got to learn that the kingdom of God, first of all, we don't have a clue, most of us, in the church house anymore. That's why I left. I mean, I tried to teach some of these things, and people just looked at you like, you know, some of them now said, well, I've never heard teaching like that before, you know, and some of them God really touched. But it's like, you know, we're all supposed to be in the body of Christ as one. We're not supposed to be, you know, and if it's the body of Christ, it will not be divided, period. And this religious institution that we call church, it can't be of God, because every church building within itself is divided against all others. And as one pastor told me one time, I was talking to him, I says, well, and I was talking to him about calling up another pastor to do something when I was way back, you know, when I was on staff in this church. And I even hate to admit that I was there now, but I was. But he says, Bill, he says, come here. Come in my office a minute. He shut the door and he says, I hate to tell you this, but he says, you can't get two pastors in this town to agree on anything. Well, when you hear something like that, and I just grinned at him, I said, well, I know that, because I says, I usually go down the streets and minister to people on the streets as the Lord leads me on Friday and Saturday night. And I take people from all these churches, and the pastors call me in their office and want to know why I'm taking their people down to the street, you know, because I didn't belong to his church. And he said it rightly. It was his church. It wasn't God's church.
Yes.
It wasn't anything in the ministry of God. And I could care less what was going on in any building, you know. What does God tell me to do? That's what I have to do. And that's all I have to do, is to follow Him as I see fit. But you need to understand that if it is divided, a house cannot stand if it's divided. You know, it just can't. And this building is not going to stand. And it's going to crumble down just like that, those manufacturing plants, the whole structure, even of these building structures, it's going to all come to nothing, come to naught. And so, you know, they need to understand this, because the kingdom of God, and most Christians don't understand this, when Jesus came to the earth, the first thing that he said in dealing with at the beginning of his ministry, and he says, you know, as of this time, this is fulfilled, and he read a scripture, and he says that the kingdom of God has come along, and paraphrasing just a little, he says, kingdom of God has come alongside the kingdoms of this earth. As of now, this kingdom has been fulfilled. And from that day forward, when he went forth, he was the king. He was God come in the flesh, who was teaching. And the only teaching he taught was about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. He didn't teach anything else. He showed the power of the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. You know, they got this argument, do they both mean the same thing, blah, 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 and, you know, and all this, but that's trivial stuff. But he had a message, and it was about his kingdom. And every single one of his parables, all 52 of them, talk about nothing but the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is like, and the beings were on this subject, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed.
Mm.
I was talking to Brother Trevor the other day and telling him about a picture that I've seen on the internet. I couldn't understand it, you know, what the deal was. And he's talking about being the smallest seed. Well, you know, he's not talking about the physical seed. He's always talking about, you know, when he's talking about things or the seed, he's talking about spiritual seed. And the smallest of seeds that's planted in a human being is that seed of the word that he plants inside of every human being. And, you know, some of it falls on deaf ears, some of it falls here, some of it goes there. Some people, you know, run from church house to church house looking for something, and other people just give up and die, and, it, you know, it goes on and on. So, you know, I couldn't understand, you know, what that have to do with the kingdom of God, other than the seed, you know, being planted in every person. And the seed is planted in, you know, everyone, regardless of what kind of person or what kind of ground they are. That smallest of seeds of salvation, the ability to come to Christ and come to know God in all of His fullness, is planted in each one of us, I believe, when we're born. I believe that. But what we do with it, that's up to us. So this picture showed, now the mustard field, when it's planted in very straight rows. It's planted close together. And when it begins to grow up, all of the mustard plants, and there just can be acres and acres and acres, and then they're trimmed back, they're pruned, and they're allowed to spread out, but they're not allowed to spread up. And this is what the kingdom of God was in the time of Jesus. It spread out. Didn't grow up. It spread out. And the field in this picture, you can see that they were in bloom and all the yellow flowers, and they were in perfectly straight rows, and they were all like perfect plants. Everything was in place, just like it was in the early church. And I says, well, what is this? And it's talking about, you know, the birds of the air, you know, are in this tree, you know, or something. I said, well, what's this tree got to do with the mustard plants? But in this picture, there was some seed from previous years that evidently was thrown out there in the field, and they were not pruned, they were not trimmed, because the master was not able to prune them and trim them and put them in the straight rows. And when you leave that seed grow, it grows into this great big tree. It looks just like a tree. It is a tree. So because it wasn't pruned and planted and, you know, nurtured properly. So this is what the kingdom of God has come. It says in the fowls of the air, it talks about the fowls of the air nesting in the tree. You need to read that mustard seed parable. And you can see that the trees are, you know, they got all these scraggly branches going everywhere, and they produce little to no crop. So they don't do too much. That is what the church is today. It's some of these big trees that's grown up. They're growing every direction, every which way. But see, those are those branches that he says, you know, he talked about that was going to have to be trimmed off. And he, and I don't remember where the other scripture was, but it's talking about, you know, we have to, you know, those branches that's not of him have got to be trimmed down. Those that's not part of what he's trying to build have to be cut down.
Yes.
You have to take those down. So, but those trees were left there to grow up, and sure enough, there was, you know, probably some birds sitting up there in the tree, and those birds that's in the tree, I said, okay, so this is this tree, this religious institution. Well, what does the birds represent? Well, the fowls of the air always usually represent the dark side or evil or the lords of darkness or something like that. So there they were sitting up in the tree, and guess what they were doing?
What?
They were defecating, let me use that word, on everything underneath.
Wow.
So if you stand under the tree, you got messed on. I guess that's the best way to put it. I hope everybody understands that.
Right.
But that's what's happening in the church today, is there's no fruit, and the fowls of the air, and all this division the doctrines of demons, the doctrines of men, you know, all this carnal stuff that's going on is not the true body of Christ. It is just a tree that's going to be chopped down one day and thrown in the, that's the tares, and it's going to be thrown in the fire and burned. So, this, I don't know why I got onto that all of a sudden, but it just seemed like it's, you know, somebody out there must need to hear.
Well, Bill, you know, when Jesus first came here, he said that he must be about his Father's business. And that's what we have to decide. We must be about our Lord's business. And that's not religious business. It's not marketing. They actually sell books.
That's right.
They actually sell books, how to market the church. And unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. That's Psalms 127. And Bill, I want to just encourage people to read Isaiah chapter 5 about the vineyard of the Lord. How God planted a vineyard. It was beautiful, fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones, planted it with the choicest vine, built a tower in the midst of it. He made a wine presser in. He looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And this is what the Lord said to Jerusalem. And he said, I pray that you, between me and my vineyard, what could I, have I done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And this is what the Lord said in Isaiah 5:5. And now go. I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned, nor digged, but there shall come up briers and thorns, and I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts, the house of Israel, and the men of Judah, his pleasant plant, and he looked for judgment, behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. Woe unto them that join house to house, and lay field to field, till there be no place, that they be placed alone in the midst of the earth. And listen, when Jesus came to his own received him not. They had religion, they had their prophets and their priests and their temple made with man's hands. But God wasn't in it, and they rejected the one sent by the Father. And the same thing is going on today. You must choose. Are you going to be about the Father's business, or are you going to be about religious and man's business? And this is the call of the Lord today, to be the true church, to arise and shine and be an example of a true believer in Jesus Christ. And this is what we're encouraging you to do.
Yes.
Bill, it's been an honor to have you today and sharing, and there's many more things that you have to share with the brethren. And your website is calledoutnow.com. Calledoutnow.com. Your name is Bill Ziegler. Bill, would you spell that for us?
Ziegler.
Okay. And you have about 40 different booklets you've written. And you're producing, I believe you're going to, yes.
I've got a lot of articles written, yes. But you can, they're all on www.calledoutnow.com. You can go in there and read them. They're not for people that go to the religious institution. They're for people that's searching for God.
Right.
Hopefully some of them, you know, because the religious didn't like Jesus either and stuff. Oh, by the way, those scriptures I was talking about are in John 15:4-6.
Yes.
And me and all in you, as the branch can't bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine, no more can you except if you abide in me. And he wants to abide in us. He's a, you know, as a branch of the life of Christ, spiritual fruit in our life can't be produced unless we are. And then he says, I am the vine, you are the branches, he that abides in me and I in him. The same brings forth much fruit, for without me it can do nothing. So much fruit can be produced in our lives through Christ Jesus, but without him there will not be any spiritual fruit produced. And that's sad, because they got all these thousands and tens of thousands of people that are going to all these big mega churches, and you know, I don't even have words to describe what I feel, you know, the sorrow and the hurt.
Yeah.
In those places. So be encouraged out there, and just get on your knees and say, okay, Lord, if this is not so in these things, you know, if this is a religious institution and it's not your body. You know, because I guarantee you that if you ask him, Lord, come into my life, you come into me, you teach me, because he's your teacher.
Yes.
Another scripture, another scripture tells about that, that he is your teacher, not me, you know, even though I think Trevor and I are kind of like teachers, but we're not really teachers. I'm more of one that gets up and I'm more like a watchman or something like that, and Trevor is too. But we're just trying to sound the alarm. We're just trying to get people's attention and say, hey, you know, because when things were coming in the old, the days of the Jews and everything, they had these men that went out and blowed horns, you know, and sounded the alarm to the people of God that danger and things are coming. And so, you know, that way they could all get together and get their arms together or get themselves together and begin to defend. What we need is to defend the faith. And so, you know, the alarm has been sounded.
Yes.
That's all. That's, you know, I'm sorry, but it has. And in 2006, the first part, I heard some shofars blowing. I woke up in the middle of the night. I couldn't figure out what that was. And they blew for 2 weeks. And he said 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and at the end of 2012. And it was, it has something to do with the judgment on this nation that probably 2012, which I think, you know, we're just real close, if not in it, 2 or 3 months, that we need to heed and listen to what the Spirit of the Lord says to the body of Christ. And you need to hear, as those who are listening to this, what does the Spirit of the Lord say unto you? And you share with us. Share with Trevor. Get on my site. Look at the articles and his articles. He's got so many super good articles that it's just fantastic. So, Trevor, thank you for following and listening to what God has said. And, you know, I know, like me, when you hit this stuff head on, people want to come down hard on you, but Jesus said, well, they wanted to kill me too, and he eventually did.
Yes.
Are you willing to give up your life? So that's what we have to do. We just got to keep on going until the, you know, whenever we go on or the Lord comes.
Yes.
So, Brother Trevor, it's been a pleasure, and I hope.
Thank you, Bill.
I just ask that you bless everybody out there in the name of Jesus Christ to where they can see the truth. Let their eyes be opened and their ears opened, that they may see and hear what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. And Bill, in closing, I want to share the words of Jesus with the people, because the words of Jesus absolutely are in a contrast to the religious world so predominantly. This is from Matthew 20, verse 25. There was a man that his mother wanted him to ask Jesus if he could sit at his right hand. You see how this is a pride of life, a sin of the flesh, you know, wanting to be exalted. And Jesus talked about that, and Jesus said it wasn't up to him to give that privilege. And his 10 brothers got all jealous, got upset. That was verse 24. But this is what Jesus said, Matthew 20, verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. He's talking to his disciples.
Yes.
But whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why any true believer that's abiding in Christ, full of the Holy Spirit, loving Jesus, loving his example, would be aghast by a so-called minister being enthroned as a king on a throne in front of the people. And most of those people were ignorant. Some of them willingly are ignorant. And many just don't care what the truth is. But you have to make a decision. I have to make a decision. That we're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're going to do this God's way. God bless you until we minister again. In Jesus' name, amen.